Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
To the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
The power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Bickley and Murata Mornings. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Jared, you're off to a great start today.
Can we check in to see what Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max are talking
about?
That's
the first time
now?
I've done that. That was a new one.
Congratulations.
Jared Carlin, always creating new ways.
Right.
People listening on the air don't know what you're talking about because I dumped it. So.
Oh, did you?
But if you're on the stream, you got a delicious treat there of the opening bars of
those 10 seconds of, hey, wait, are they already done?
Before we get started today, there was a fact I wanted to share with you that I think is remarkable. We talk about Tom Brady playing until he's 50 as a, wow, that's never been done before. How about the show Survivor in year 40?
Well, not year, season.
Season?
Yeah.
So that isn't years?
But it started in, what, 99?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I think they do two a year.
They do two seasons a year. So who's the guy that runs that show? He lives in Arizona.
Host?
Yeah.
Jeff Probst.
Yeah, that's him.
He does?
He did. Wow. He's from here.
If you're doing two seasons of Survivor a year, you're not home very much.
Okay, so my point is, on the spectrum of great jobs in this country, that one's got to be top 10. To be on a show like that, to travel to those places, to just kind of dip in and out of a drama in progress, to be traveling to all these remote locations, and to make a boatload of money doing it.
Yes.
And he does do very, very little on that show, too.
Yeah.
He just, like, shows up at the end.
At the end.
And, like, just...
when the tiki torches are flickering.
Right. Ooh, sorry about eating all those bugs. I'm going to go back to my waterfront hut.
Right. Yeah.
See you guys in 3 days.
That's one of the all-time great jobs.
So 41 seasons, that's, like, what, 800 episodes, probably?
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never watched one of them.
I watched the second season, because the first season was a phenomenon, if you remember.
It was
with the
crazy
big fat naked guy.
Yeah, I still remember his name, Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch, yeah.
Wow.
So the second season, I remember, I was in college, I think, and it was just like had a lot of buzz to it. So I watched that one, and that was it.
Oh, the show was red hot at one time.
I was more into The Amazing Race. Is that still on?
Yeah.
That was a great show.
All these shows that have no budget are...
Well, they have budgets.
On forever. But I'm saying they don't have actors.
Exactly.
And they don't have directors and writers.
They do have writers, but
you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very inexpensive to make, so they last forever.
Jared,
Big Brother.
Oh, gosh.
Another show I've never watched.
Yeah.
The Real World Road Rules Challenge is still on.
Do you know who watched all 41 seasons of Survivor when the pandemic hit last year?
Who?
My fiancé.
What?
You know who was home for most of that?
You.
Me.
Wow.
Did he at least do like a live...
You are a true survivor.
Did he do like a podcast or something or a blog?
Actually,
or...
he would really love to. Jeff Metcalf from AZ Central is a huge Survivor fan as well. And just yesterday, my fiance was like, we're going to do a podcast.
We're going to dork out on Survivor together.
You know what they say? Strike while the iron's lukewarm.
21 seasons later.
Yeah.
Strike 20 years after the iron was hot.
Start the show, Barrett.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him all coming.
The Splash. Brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
The Arizona Cardinals were back on the practice field getting ready for their week 3 trip to Jacksonville to face the 0-2 Jaguars, a host of Cardinals not participating in Wednesday's practice. Notably, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, not the normal Wednesday Veterans Day off, but listed out with a ribs injury, as was tackle Kelvin Beachum. Justin Pugh, Marco Wilson also out due to injury. A.J. Green, Devon Kennard, Rodney Hudson, Chandler Jones, Corey Peters all got Veterans Days off.
Okay.
So that's the one to monitor this week, Bic, is DeAndre Hopkins. And I wonder, you know, we had the discussion about, you know, big first quarter for DeAndre Hopkins in the win over Minnesota.
Wow.
Where were the targets?
Yep.
Was he playing through pain? Was he less than 100%? Maybe that was part of it.
That's a very possible explanation. I do know that he was getting bracketed a lot after as that game started to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
The did-not-practice players for Jacksonville, by the way, Brandon Linder and Jay Tufelli, who you may or may not have heard of at this point.
I'd be in the latter category.
Now you have.
Yeah.
Justin Fields will be the fifth rookie quarterback to start already this season when the Bears visit the Browns. Sunday, Matt Nagy made the announcement, and he did it with authority. Yesterday, the Fields will get the nod due to Andy Dalton's knee injury. Fields will join Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Davis Mills as rookies who have started games in the season's first 3 weeks.
Then Matt Nagy did something thoroughly ridiculous and said, but when Andy Dalton's healthy, he'll get his job back.
Again.
This guy just cannot get out of his own way.
He can't. At this point, I kind of understand the steadfast nature of sticking by the guy you said is the starter.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets hurt, everything's off the board. When mm-hmm. he gets hurt and it's Andy Dalton, everything's off the board. Justin Fields goes, plays lights out, and the Bears win some games. You're really going back to Andy Dalton?
The idea that you can't lose your job to injury in sports is foolhardy.
I think so.
Yeah.
But some people, some coaches who make those decisions still subscribe to it. Davis Mills gets his crack at it tonight as Week 3 gets underway in Houston. Texans hosting the 2-0 and defensively stingy Carolina Panthers, who are a 7.5-point favorite on the road. That game kicks off at 5:20. That is a game for the diehards, Dan Bickley.
Look, I was looking for a reason to have the bottle opener around my neck tonight. This game I can't bring myself to care about.
All right, might I suggest 41 seasons of Survivor?
Maybe. There you go.
If it's streaming, it's commercial free.
Have you checked out this new documentary on Muhammad Ali that's on PBS?
No.
It's fabulous.
No.
You've got to check this out.
I did watch a documentary on Rick James.
Yeah, I've got that.
Fascinating.
I've got that logged.
Yeah. Miami's. Where else are you going to get Rick James and Muhammad Ali documentary drop-ins right in the middle of the splash? Nowhere else but here. Miami's Tua Tagovailoa has been ruled out with a ribs injury for this week. Jacoby Brissett will get the nod at QB for the Dolphins Sunday against the Raiders in Las Vegas, and there seems to be that growing narrative. Can Tua Tagovailoa hold up to the physical rigors of the NFL?
Yeah, and I think the early answer is no. I think he is not as elusive as Kyler Murray. He takes a lot of hits. He's mm-hmm. not that big, and injuries were a deal with him in college. Yeah, this is it seems like the Dolphins have a big, heavy decision to make
they
here.
They do. Indianapolis quarterback Carson Wentz did not practice yesterday. He's recovering from two sprained ankles. If he can't go Sunday at Tennessee, Jacob Eason, a second-year player, would be the next quarterback making his first career start. Something to watch there. In baseball, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, and Freddie Freeman, names that I've said a lot this week, they all homered, and Ian Anderson retired the last 17 hitters he faced as the Braves eased to a 9-2 win over the Diamondbacks at Chase Field. Merrill Kelly got touched up for 6 runs on 7 hits over 6 innings. He took the loss his 11th of the year. D-backs have lost 4 straight. They are 48-104, and with the Orioles losing to Philadelphia 4-3, they're still tied with Baltimore for the worst record in baseball with 10 games remaining
in
the season.
Well, that's all that matters. Last night I was watching the game for like a hot minute. Adam Duvall hit a home run and was admiring it so much that he passed his teammates on the base paths.
But he was also unsure whether or not Jake McCarthy caught the ball, which there was some doubt. Good sales job by McCarthy to save a run. It could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
We joked about it yesterday, too. Ian Anderson was
lead
the
singer
starting
of Jethro Tull?
Lead singer
yeah.
of Jethro Tull. You know who came in to relieve him in the eighth inning?
Freddie Mercury?
Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay.
That's pretty good.
They got a musical pitching staff there in Atlanta. Braves will go for the 4-game sweep today with Charlie Morton on the mound against Madison Bumgarner. 12:40 first pitch, little matinee action at Chase. 12 o'clock pregame on ESPN 620 AM and 98.7 FM HD2. Coyotes in training camp just 5 days away from their preseason opener Monday against the Kings in Glendale. Yesterday, the announcement came down that the Coyotes are back with Arizona Sports. They're back! All regular season and playoff games will be aired once again here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, or ESPN 620 AM with Bob Heathouse and Lindsey Fry on the call. Coyotes regular season, believe it or not, opens up on the 14th of October in Columbus.
Right around the corner.
Against the Blue Jackets. And as I mistakenly said yesterday in this time slot, the Phoenix Mercury open up the WNBA playoffs tonight. It is tonight, right, Sarah? All right, cool.
Yes,
double-checking. Single elimination game against the New York Liberty. Diana Taurasi has been bothered by an ankle injury, is questionable for the game that tips off at 7 o'clock. That's taking place at GCU Arena. You're free to go there tonight.
Yes.
I apologize if you went there last night. ESPN2's got the TV coverage. There you go. There is your splash for Thursday, September 23rd. Coming up next, Cliff Kingsbury appears to be in a pretty good mood as the Arizona Cardinals get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. We've got more next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The broadcasters of your area in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities develop this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you pick number one, you know you're going to have some growing pains. That's just part of it as you build. But you look at the team they put together, they're very talented, playing a lot of young players, but athletic as anybody in the league. Trevor Lawrence, everybody has, you know, talked about. He's one of the top prospects probably in the last 20 years in the NFL from a talent standpoint and how he played in college. So they got it going in the right direction. They're a tough team. I thought they really made strides last week, and we know we're going to have our hands full.
It's Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, talking yesterday ahead of their Week 3 game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Can I get this out of the way? The Cardinals don't play Jacksonville very often, so
yeah.
I can say this now.
All right.
It's not Jaguars.
No, I hate that. It's one of my pet peeves.
Now, but Jaguars.
If you're British, I'll accept Jaguar. Jaguar.
Yeah.
But Jaguar?
No. Jaguar. It's not that difficult.
You know that band? That crazy band that dresses up in costumes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Just think
Choir.
Think of the beloved CBS procedural Jag, and then the great costumed band Guar.
Yeah.
Jag.
There you go. Guar.
What's harder to... Yeah.
That's it. Simple.
When asked yesterday about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the parallel between the two teams, that was the answer Cliff Kingsbury gave, but he might have also delivered, it's in the running for the best Cliff Kingsbury one-liner of his coaching tenure, about the parallels between the two teams. We have that, Jarrett?
There's some parallels between the Jaguars and the situation with you coming into the league, first-time head coach, Urban Meyer, first-time head coach.
Two wildly successful college coaches.
Well done. That's a good line.
Yeah.
And I'm always a big fan when coaches, and there's a lot of coaches that are very self-important. When you can have a coach who, in the midst of being successful, can be a little self-deprecating,
yeah.
It goes a long, long
yeah.
way.
He's good at this. This is one thing. Cliff Kingsbury's very good at deferring and self-deprecation. It's the other stuff that he's missing. It's the taking himself too seriously stuff. It's that stuff that football coaches have. But this is a good thing. His demeanor with the media yesterday, he was smiling. He was. There are times when I've seen him with the media, he's just not comfortable receiving and answering questions and knowing what to say and what he can't say mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. It was good to see him like that yesterday.
Absolutely.
His best line since.
Have you ever fallen so in love with a helmet that you're willing to walk away from the game?
I haven't fallen in love with a woman that I'm willing to walk away from the game for. So
I guess I know your answer on the helmet.
Yeah.
That was a good line.
That was probably still number one, but that line yesterday and some people on social media thought he was being serious. Now they
really?
might have just read the quotes and didn't get the joke.
It's one thing not to get tone on social media if it's
right.
just a written quote,
yeah,
but when the
right.
video's
that's
out
right.
there, come on.
That's right.
But we talked about it, Bick. We talked about this yesterday. Obviously, the setting is different. Cliff Kingsbury is further along in his NFL coaching career
mm-hmm.
than Urban Meyer is. You heard him point out the discrepancies in the success level in the college ranks.
Mm-hmm.
But if Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who's not that far removed from college football, can beat one of the most successful college coaches of all time, regardless of the stage and regardless yeah. of the level, feather in his cap. I think there is something to that.
Well, yeah, and this is something that I would implore him to keep doing that, because it can go a long, long way. Maybe it reflects, Vinny, a guy that knows he has got enough quarterback now that he's kind of got a good hand, you know? Like, for instance, there's a website called zonecoverage.com. Headline, believe it or not, Mike Zimmer outcoached Cliff Kingsbury. The story goes through a lot of different looks on defense. It goes through a whole bunch of different things. It came down to the bottom line that it said the Arizona Cardinals' initial strategy didn't work, but Murray made some incredible improvisational hero plays that rendered the Vikings coaching irrelevant. That's unfortunate because Zimmer had Cliff Kingsbury figured out. Just one man's opinion. Mm-hmm. It's a data-driven story, one man's opinion, but it speaks to what we've been talking about for months now. If Kyler Murray is going to be this good, the rest of it, details, babe.
Yeah, it
details.
Covers up. It's a giant Band-Aid for a lot of other stuff. Now, is he going to be good enough to win every game? That's the question. There's opposition out there. But that subject came up in Cliff Kingsbury's availability yesterday, too, Bick, about play calling, and that's why he got this job. His reputation as a college play caller was what fueled his elevation to become an NFL head coach, when a lot of people think he didn't deserve the job. But he said, I don't care if I call something and it breaks down, but it still works. I don't care.
Yeah, I have zero pride when it comes to play calling. Like, I'll high five them and take the win and keep going. So, yeah, I mean, I don't worry about it. I could think it's the most beautiful play I've ever drawn up, and if they make it work, I'm good with it.
He also said something interesting about Johnny Manziel. Yeah.
And that was the follow-up question. Have you always been like that, with zero pride on your play call?
Yeah. When you coach Johnny football, you just take the wins as you can get them. You don't worry about being on time for meetings or showing up for practice some days. You just get them out there Saturday and let them go and collect the check. So I learned at an early age, if you got one like that, just let them go.
That's quite something. It speaks to the culture that he is cool with as a head coach.
Yeah.
You know, for better or worse.
He had like 5 minutes of solid material.
That's what I'm saying. This was really good. This was
sports kebab with Cliff Kingsbury.
No, I mean, it was somewhat revelatory. He actually was trying. I mean, that's a great anecdote he told about Johnny football. A lot of football coaches wouldn't admit, yeah, you know what, I had this dude who was just out of control, but he was great, so I just let him do what he wanted to do.
True, but we have to remember that Cliff Kingsbury was not Johnny Manziel's head coach.
Well, that is true.
He was his coordinator.
Okay.
He had the offensive mind.
Ah.
That was Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you know, Kevin Sumlin wasn't going to discipline Johnny Manziel either.
I know. No.
Especially when they were winning.
Where's Coach Sumlin? I don't know.
Rolling around in a pile of money right now is where
right,
Coach Sumlin
exactly
is.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Much like the Kyler Murray quotes that we've played over the last couple of weeks, when you're winning, when you're 2-0, when everything's going well, when you just got a miracle win, it is a lot easier to be loose in these press conferences.
And I think, as I blasted on yesterday, I think there's something to this where Urban Meyer now is the head coach doing all the clunky stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
If you needed an example of how different the college game is from the pro game, he's providing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's providing all the proof you need so far.
Yeah. So I think this is good. I'm glad that Cliff's in this place. And I'm glad he did that yesterday. If he keeps doing that, he's got a real chance with this quarterback to redeem himself for all that stuff that went down last year.
Mm-hmm. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, one of the Cardinals' all-time favorite players from the fan base, Anquan Boldin. His name is on the Hall of Fame ballot for eligibility this year. When is he going to get another honor? We'll get into all of that next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Play clock down to 5. They get it off. Leading to the 38, Anquan Boldin once again into the open field. Boldin is gone.
I don't know, Corey Harris might have him.
Couple of moves and a touchdown for the rookie. 71 yards, his second touchdown of the game.
All the way back to 2003. I remember it like it was yesterday, Bick. Anquan Boldin's NFL debut on the road against the Detroit Lions, where he went absolutely nuts at over 200 yards receiving. Cardinals lost the game. But that was the arrival for Anquan Boldin to a tremendous career, even after he left the Arizona Cardinals, going on to Baltimore, San Francisco, and then ending with Detroit. The reason why we're bringing that up is the names of those who are eligible to be voted in for the first time in the Pro Football Hall of Fame were released this week. One of the graphics I saw that was released actually misspelled Anquan Boldin's name, which is just a travesty. But you started thinking about this, Bick. I think Anquan Boldin is a Hall of Fame player. I don't know if he's a first.
There's no doubt about
it. I don't know if he's a first ballot guy. You know, and that debate is probably separate from this discussion. But you kind of brought it up. A Hall of Fame is about the pinnacle for the individual honors an NFL player can receive.
Mm-hmm.
But not far away from that is being honored by the teams that you starred for.
Yeah.
In, you know, number retirements, or in his case with the Cardinals, Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's close to being in the Ring of Honor.
It's something I think the Cardinals really kind of need to look in the face if they haven't already. To me, it would be embarrassing. First of all, his omission right now is pretty glaring, in my opinion. Adrian Wilson was a great player. Anquan Boldin is just as good. Adrian Wilson is in the Ring of Honor. Anquan Boldin is not. I think we all have a good idea why Anquan Boldin is in delay, and it's because of the way that he left the team. It was about as messy and as contentious as you're ever going to get. And it's largely a result of Anquan Boldin's personality. He is extremely stubborn, extremely principled, and if you do him wrong, he's going to shut the door on you. And so there's a good chance maybe the Cardinals have reached out and he's just not been receptive. There's a chance the Cardinals haven't reached out because of the way he torched the organization and, you know, the way they handled his contract and all of that. But I do think this needs to be done one way or the other before Anquan Boldin gets elected in the Hall of Fame, because otherwise I think you're not doing him justice. Anquan Boldin to Cardinals fans, for the ones who were old enough to know what he meant to the team, he was all that. And you played the highlight. I covered that first game in Detroit, and so much of what I feel about the importance of toughness in the NFL kind of was illuminated that day. His first game as a player, he just was a beast. And in the locker room afterwards, watching the way the whole locker room rallied around him, not because he scored a couple of touchdowns, it was the way he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of his career. There was the day in the Meadowlands when he got his face blown up by Eric Smith of the Jets.
I was going to ask if you remembered who delivered that hit.
Yeah.
And by God, you did.
I did. And Larry Fitzgerald told me he went over to check out Anquan in the end zone, and Anquan was out like a light.
Mm-hmm.
Anquan Boldin refused to take any painkillers as he recovered from that shattered jaw. It was a hit so gruesome that Kurt Warner pondered retirement because it was... because he threw the ball.
Mm-hmm. He made the catch, too.
And he made the catch, too.
And, by the way, he played the next week.
Yeah.
He was a different breed of tough.
Dude. He's been an incredible force for good since retiring. He's attached himself to a lot of great causes. He's done a lot of charitable work. He is just 100% legit, and he needs to be in that Ring of Honor for that Ring of Honor's credibility.
Well, to your point, we don't know what's happened behind the scenes. We don't know about discussions since, you know, he left after the 2009 season. That was 12 years ago. It wasn't on good terms. How much in terms of patching things up has happened? I agree with you. Just based on what he did for the organization and his level of play, it's a no-brainer that he should be included. But as you brought up, Anquan Boldin, you know, the way he's wired, it might not be a bridge that can be rebuilt, which would be a shame.
But you know what? That you can still put a guy in the Ring of Honor even if he's non-compliant. And you don't see that a lot, but it's something I would do as an organization because, again, it's got to be credible.
That is true.
And you do it for your fans.
The example that came to mind is Terrell Owens got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and didn't show up and had his own. Where did he have it?
Oh, that's
Middle Tennessee State
right.
University or something.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's right. He did. So here's the thing too about Anquan Boldin. So he went to the Ravens and he became beloved there and he won a Super Bowl and he got his money and it all ended well for Anquan Boldin. But it's one of those deals where again you're dealing with the guy that is. Just he is very convicted. He's very he will stand on the hills of his personal beliefs. That's just the dude he is. I think you can do it even without because here's the thing. So many players in the Valley have gotten sideways with teams over money, whatever, and they've had nasty, contentious divorces. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the Valley, from what I can tell, ever blamed Q for anything. There's not. I doubt you could find a true red Cardinals fan, not true blue, true red Cardinals fan that wouldn't completely sing his praises, even though he torched the Cardinals on the way out.
That's a great point. I'm curious to see if we'll get any feedback on social media on that.
I think for two reasons. One, because of the way he played, like you said, because he was so tough, it was hard not to respect him. And two, because he predated Fitz.
He did.
And he was on the team at the lowest of low points, and he was sort of one of the ones that brought them up, you know, through and that, you know, peaked with the Kurt Warner Super Bowl run.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about his career with the Cardinals, too, was, and maybe this contributed, I think it was there anyway, but maybe this made the chip on his shoulder bigger, in his draft class. He was not even the first receiver the Cardinals took that year. Then they took Larry Fitzgerald in the top two the next year, or top three, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
Bryant Johnson was the first rookie wide receiver drafted by the Cardinals that year.
But then also, as great and consistent as Q was, he was always overshadowed by Fitz.
Yeah, and there was a lot to be said for that. There was a, keep in mind, Q, he burned hot, and who can forget in the NFC Championship game when he got into Todd Haley's face because they brought Q off the field. Now
I think everybody got in Todd Haley's face, though, in that playoff run.
Or everybody wanted to.
And again, I don't blame Anquan Boldin. That was like Buck Showalter taking Matt Williams out of a playoff game. You don't take Anquan Boldin off a football field. But you also, as a player in a big game, don't get in your offensive coordinator's face when he's trying to dial up a play.
No, that is true.
Right.
Well, we'll learn more about, I hope to, today, because Anquan Boldin is going to be on with Wolf and Luke. And I'm sure the relationship with the Cardinals is a subject that will be.
I can't wait. That's
that will
be
approached.
Great. That's going to be fabulous.
They made up with the Suns. Made up with Barkley. The Diamondbacks made up with Randy Johnson. It can happen with disgruntled super duper stars if you want to make it happen.
Yeah, that's very true.
The Matt Williams double switch against the Mets. By the way, when you said that, one of the things that completely going off track here, the Mets documentary that just aired that we both loved. I didn't remember the Daryl Strawberry getting double switched out of a World Series.
How about that? Right, I had forgotten about that too.
And how mad he was.
Oh, yeah.
How that team won a World Series. I mean, they had a lot of good players.
They referenced that in the classic Simpsons softball episode.
Did they really?
When Mr. Burns takes out Daryl Strawberry to pinch hit Homer because Homer's a right-hander.
I don't remember that. Completely unsolicited, but if you have a chance to watch that Once Upon a Time in Queens, tremendous.
Tremendous.
Outstanding
documentary. It is. I'm with you on that.
You can text the word GATE to 620-620 or register to participate in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Virtual Tailgate Experience fueled by M-Drive. Join your favorite Arizona sports host before the Cards game this Sunday, and you'll have the chance to win amazing prizes, including tickets to an upcoming game, autographed memorabilia, and much more. That's GATE, G-A-T-E, to 620-620. Toughness in your quarterback position. It's something everybody wants, but can it be a slippery slope? We'll get into that discussion next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Yeah, get some new quarterbacks in the NFL getting cracks to guide their teams this weekend due to injury. Davis Mills, the rookie, will see that tonight because Tyrod Taylor's out on injured reserve, so the rookie will get the call for the Texans against the Carolina Panthers. Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, making the announcement yesterday that Tua's out. Tua Tagovailoa will not play this week. It'll be Jacoby Brissett going for the Dolphins. Again, I think they play the Raiders this week. They did not look good last week. They got shut out.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger picture for the Dolphins, who have not exactly been 100% enamored with Tua Tagovailoa since he got there. The way they've handled that situation is a bit curious. It seems like, you know, people that have a significant other, but they've always got their eye roving somewhere else to see if somebody better comes along.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Miami Dolphins right now. And a lot of it has to do, I think, because of the questions about Tua's toughness. Is he tough enough or is he brittle?
Yeah, and is he smart enough to play the position at the highest level? I think there's that in there as well. The studying, the acumen, that there's a little of that. But the toughness thing is a big deal because he had ankle issues at Alabama. He had that terrible hip injury at Alabama. And he was drafted very high, and yet he was not named a captain coming into this season, his second season in the NFL. And people are like, okay. And then there was Stephen Ross and his alleged reported infatuation with Deshaun Watson. So it's created a weird dynamic. But I think more of the moment is just there's a cautionary tale here for Kyler Murray relative to the conversation we had yesterday. Tua Tagovailoa is not a big guy. Either is Kyler Murray. Tua Tagovailoa, though, is not elusive. He takes a lot of hits. He gets hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at him and you go, is that guy going to last in the NFL? And I would say the outlook, I wouldn't bet on it. And so it kind of plays to what we were talking about yesterday with the self-preservation gene and skill that Kyler Murray has. And it's something that, I mean, he's got it to the highest level.
Well, it has been. That's been one thing that I've been impressed with at the pro level from Kyler Murray since day one. He's very aware of who he is and what he is. And he might be Tom Brady never gets hit, but if somebody's got a chance to light him up, they're probably going to do it just because Tom Brady's a statue back there. Kyler Murray is elite at avoiding contact, whether it's sliding. And in the grand scheme of things, it might be frustrating when on a game day, Kyler Murray gets loose, he's scrambling, and he slides to preserve himself, to not take a hit, cost himself 3 or 4 yards in the process. It can be a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, like, Lamar Jackson is a perfect example. I love watching Lamar Jackson run with the football. Lamar Jackson is more, you know, he's more prototypically built for a football player, a quarterback, and he doesn't shy away from the contact.
No.
That will shorten Lamar Jackson's career.
Yeah.
Unless he changes that.
You're absolutely right. There are guys that will do that because they feel they have to. They feel like Kirk Cousins last week. There was a play when instead of getting down, he tried to, you know, fight for an extra yard or something. And he took a pretty decent hit. And it's some quarterbacks feel like that they have to do that to impress the rest of their team. And granted, there's some alpha male stuff attached to that. There are times when Kyler Murray, when he sacks himself, it looks kind of goofy, you know, because he's not a real big guy in the first place. And when he decides just to peace out on a play and he just sits down, it's kind of comical. It's not what you see very often in the NFL. But at the same time, it kind of proves the point that you were making yesterday. I want Kyler Murray to show toughness in the name of if your shoulder hurts, if your knee hurts, you just ignore it and you play through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want him being tough to the point of being stupid and trying to move a defender back a couple of yards.
Don't be careless.
There was a pivotal play in Sunday's game against Minnesota late. That first down play, which, you know, Kyler Murray's running. They want to milk the clock or get Minnesota to burn timeouts. and he ran out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And
yeah.
Look, maybe it's hypocritical on my part because that was my first reaction was don't run out of
bounds.
Well,
you can't there. You've got to just tackle yourself there, but slide into the ground.
But if Kyler Murray is making a determination, if I don't get out of bounds, I'm going to get absolutely lit up right here. It wasn't the smart play in terms of winning or losing.
No, you're right. That's he might have been too late to slide and avoid a hit. That's very possible. You're right. I didn't think about that, but that might have been going through his head like, uh-oh, the window for me to get down just went.
Yeah, and you chalk that one up to, okay, I got away with it this time in the grand scheme of things because we still won the football game.
Right.
But big picture, that was probably the right. If he felt like he was going to take some punishment, it was the right move.
Yeah, and so I think this is the thing, and it's getting him through an entire season. When you think about it, you remember how absurdly important it was in his rookie year for him to play Week 17?
Mm-hmm.
And how absurdly proud the organization was that he did?
Yes.
And how, you know, apathetic he was about it in
right,
the first
not
place.
Important to him, I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, it wasn't. For that to even become a storyline tells you that they spotted early on, okay, there's a fine line here.
Guess
with
what?
This kid.
The first time he misses a game due to injury,
yeah,
it is going to be under a microscope. Uh-oh.
I know.
I mean, we're talking about with Tua, who obviously has a much more lengthy injury history, but it'll be talked about differently because it's Kyler Murray. Oh, see, 5'10 quarterback can't hold up.
Yeah,
he's out.
Right. You're right.
My dad, who is now watching Cardinals games for the first time, essentially, since he moved to Arizona, every week he tells me there's no way he's going to last through a season. He's going to take one hit, and that'll be it. He's too small. It's like that's still the narrative for him 3 years into his NFL career. The thing that it's hard to remember is that he did not miss any games last year, Kyler Murray.
Hasn't missed any.
Even though he was injured for essentially three of the games, he didn't actually miss any games.
Yeah, and that's the other side of this, too. He did show toughness because he wasn't right physically, and playing through those games did display toughness. But then you go, okay, he played through the injury, but the Cardinals were hampered because he was not right due to the injury. It's this fine line. Like,
no, it really is.
I agree with the thesis statement. You want every player on your team to be tough, and Kyler Murray is tough. But if he's got to play through injuries throughout a lot of his career, it's not gonna go that well.
No, listen, you're right about that. And he's just been at a different level. There was a play in the Tennessee game when the Titans brought a blitz, and they had a D lineman and a linebacker both closing in on Kyler Murray, and both the defensive players ended up sprawled out on the ground. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes. And they were both injured after.
And they're both injured. Yeah. Right, exactly. That's what this kid is doing. He's just getting in the heads of defensive players who can't get to this kid. Whoever, I think it was Mark Schlereth said, he's like that kid on the playground in fifth grade you could never catch.
Mm-hmm. Or a cobra loose in your house.
Who said that, Jarrett?
All right, coming up next, Cardinals at 2-0 with a good chance to go 3-0. Lots of people around the league wondering. Is this team for real? We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings on this Thursday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
A big turd sandwich.